From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Just say it, Gerard. Say it. Say it. Just give me the satisfaction of somebody in this organization saying, you know what? We're done, bleeped up. We should have taken McConkie at 34. We never should have traded out with the Chargers, getting 37 and 137, which the Patriots then spun back in getting number 110 overall, selecting Jalen Polk and Javon Baker. As excited as I was for Javon Baker getting drafted by the Patriots, unfortunately, that has not worked out. There have been conversations had about maturity issues, understanding the professional scheme. The guy has the size, tools, and talents to make it happen. Jalen Polk, obviously, just overwhelmed by everything, though he, like so many in the coordinator and the coaching staff, players, and beyond Mego, is another somebody who probably deserves a breakfast ball or a mulligan, because outside of Drake May and Christian Gonzalez, we can't point to anyone that's working out right or really developing this year. But there was such an obvious, glaring, perfect friggin' fit with Ladd McConkie, born to be a Patriot. Every single piece of tape he put out when he was healthy at Georgia, his pro day, his combine work, he had the best footwork, gets open in a sports car, has surefire hands, and on a team that has been desperate to find the third down slot machine, playmaker, go-to, just the guy that's always open and can make things happen. I just thought, for like the second he was available at 34, I remember where I was on Cape Cod, I was at my favorite little local, the Cleeton Anchor in Dennisport, and I was watching the draft. And the Patriots come up on 34, and Ladd McConkie is still available. And I'm thinking, I've been waiting for this for months, for years.
It's meant to be.
It's going to happen. My boy, Ladd McConkie, he's got a football name. And then all of a sudden, the banner comes up. The Patriots have traded out, and L.A. is on the clock. I literally screamed. I said, no, God, why? And this woman came over to me. She said, young man, are you okay? I was like, first, A, that's adorable that you think I'm young.
She was 95 years old.
Second of all, she was legitimately concerned because I was so mad. I couldn't help but just shout out loud, what TF are you guys doing? Why are you overthinking this? You're being a half measure too clever, trying to think, well, in weaponizing the offense, famous triggering Pat's parlance now, you overthought this. Just, you know, as people have told me before in the lots, and I've shared with you guys on the pregame show when I do my usual tailgate check-in. Spoiler alert, I won't be doing the tailgate segment on the pregame show since I'm hosting it
you
today.
You might not be missing much today.
Maybe I should just, I'll drive down to Gillette and I'll just run out to the lot, then I'll drive back to studio. I've actually gotten some text messages from friends in the RV lot, and it's been described as light.
today. Light?
Light.
Well, I don't look. They even if this was like it's the Patriots of, I don't know, 7 years ago, still a tough sell with December rain coming in.
Yeah.
Look, with Ladd McConkey, it's very tough because you have the direct comparison of what you got instead of him, and that you were sitting right there. And there's no way to say that if Ladd McConkey was here, he would definitely be producing the way, be looking at 1,000 yards probably today.
He's going to set the he's going to set the Chargers rookie record for receptions and yards. And on a team that has had some elite wide receivers over the last 40 years, that's pretty damn impressive.
This team is in a different place than your Patriots are. But at the same time, you got Ladd McConkey putting up 87 receiving yards in Thursday Night Football just over a week ago. That's as many receiving yards as Jalen Polk has had all season.
No, literally.
And I don't say that to just completely disparage Jalen Polk. It's, nobody needs to double down on that, you know? Like, everybody can see for themselves the season that he's had, but it's really the direct comparison that you have. And you say Javon Baker, that you want to give him a breakfast ball, as our friend Tommy Curran likes to say, a mulligan. I don't know, man. They are trying to give Javon Baker these opportunities. They're trying him on special teams to return, and it seems like he just has these fundamental errors that you look at and you go, it's not just that you're not being coached up or you don't have the talent around you. Some of this has to be self-accountability. And that's
not getting in a car accident during the bye week and getting concussed?
Well, I don't even get, like, that was just another layer of bizarre.
IG with the Live to complain about the Mass State Police. This just in, they're your friends. You want to get on their side immediately because they may look the other way or help you out. They're all over the stadium. They're big fans just like us, and they want you guys to succeed. To go IG Live and complain about getting a ticket from Mass State Troopers before you've even caught a single ball in the NFL for the Patriots, so dumb, so disappointing. And yes, that's where our culture concerns and questions began way back then. Like, you're telling me you got a guy that feels comfortable doing an Instagram Live to complain about the cops outside of Gillette? You got to be kidding me.
There's a certain standard that I think has just been too messy with some of the culture stuff, some of the locker room expectations. And I thought it was interesting. I was on with Razor yesterday with Andrew Raycroft in the morning for the Greg Hill Show. And he was talking about how, as much as you want Gerard Mayo preaching transparency and, you know, guys being able to be authentically themselves and swinging it in a slightly different direction than when Bill was here and having it be almost like, okay, you're in Annapolis and you're supposed to be in A Few Good Men or something. You can't handle the truth.
Right.
But you had to have a standard of, we're not going to cross this line, and we're going to keep it professional, and we're going to keep it respectful. And it just feels like there's a lot of these little things that are symptoms of the standard not being able to be held throughout the season. At certain points, I look at Christian Barmore. He had kind of a similar situation, right? Mm-hmm. He gets pulled over, has a registration issue, is tweeting about it, is all over social media about it, and then puts out a pretty thoughtful apology.
Right.
And walks it back and takes accountability. And I say, okay, I give credit there. Absolutely. Not that he needs it from me, but that's the way that you want somebody. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody is emotional or goes over the top at different points. They take accountability for it. Hey, good for you. Acknowledge it, grow from it, move on. It doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of other points of that on the team. And that's where it's like the standard's not set, and then there's also not the accountability that you're looking for. And I know that we've gotten off on a little side tangent from Ladd McConkey, but it's disappointing,
but it speaks to all of this.
Because you need these young guys, whether it's Jalen Polk, whether it's Javon Baker, and Christian Barmore, anybody else, you need them to set the culture. Like, you need them to be lieutenants for Gerard Mayo if he's coming back next year, to be the guys who are going to say, these are the expectations in our locker room, and it can't just be Juwan Bentley goes out early in the season and the whole thing falls apart.
Right. One of the main reasons why, Bradfo and I were talking about this, I apologize, everyone, but 3-2-1, I'm crossing sports. The other morning, we were discussing Red Sox briefly. I talked about how much I like the Walker Buehler signing because there's going to be an adult in the pitching rotation who's trending upwards after his second Tommy John. And I asked, why do you spend the money on Alex Bregman? And he said, you want a Bregman even maybe over Teoscar Hernandez because there needs to be an adult in the room. They now have the dearth of leadership or veteran presence like a Justin Turner brought to them a couple of years ago. And Bregman will come in and be like, this is how we do it. I've done it at a high level on a team that has gone to multiple ALCS, won two World Series. I know how to get it done, and I'm going to show a lot of these young guys coming up, the Mayers, the Anthonys, Jaren Duran, even though he's not necessarily young at 28. I'll play veteran mentor. That's why they're going to overpay me, in addition to good defense and clutch hitting. There needs to be that on the Patriots. Sometimes you get it in the form of a veteran that's on the team. Sometimes you sign a guy in free agency. Or other times, you just draft a lockdown player whose physical tools are exactly what your scheme needs, but also who's going to be an adult and a grown-up. Like, he tested off the charts, and he checked every box. Every box this team needed.
And yet for
Ladd McConkey, yes. Back to Ladd McConkey. And why in the world? I know you need 10 new receivers on this team. You need a bunch of tight ends. You need tackles and everything else. And it's great that Caden Wallace will be coming back today as well. He's been activated as Marcus Jones' season ends. Maybe we'll get a chance over the final two games. Looking for small positives, Mego, to maybe see somebody get a chance to not just shine, but survive and not be DeMontre Jacobs at a position they were drafted to play. But it just bums me out because he would have been an instant fit with Drake. They would have come up together the same way they were hoping that Drake and Polk would come together. Why in your estimation?
Oh, they'd be on the sidelines at Celtics games.
Oh, my God. They would be the new Brady and Edelman or Brady and Welker. They would be instant besties everywhere.
Fitzy in an alternate universe. I know you're a multiverse guy.
They wouldn't even be able to keep that jersey in stock in the pro shop. Gah. All right. Let me ask you. Why do you think, because you're in the locker room, you've talked to a lot of these guys, you've gotten a chance to know them. What is your quick take before we go to break, Trend, and keep the show marching on emotional roller coaster in the next segment, everyone here on Football Sunday on a Saturday? What is your quick spin on why Polk has struggled so much?
He wouldn't say it's mental. It has to be that. Who he's become since training camp, he looked more like a Jacoby Myers type guy. You saw him in training camp, was productive. And something starts happening during the season where it's not just Polk, it's a lot of the receivers. The route running is off, the spacing is off, it's really disorganized. And then on top of that, it's almost like the fundamentals, there's cracks across the board with those guys. I think Jalen Polk has, for the first half of the season at least, been put in a position where they wanted him. Okay, Polk, that's a mulligan. And they keep giving him the opportunity, and it's almost like his inability to rise to the occasion is now just something that is hanging over him, where it's an expectation. You know, it's like,
it's so far gone now, he can't get out from under his own specter of disappointment.
And I don't know how you fix that, because that's hard.
Because by all accounts, I hear he's a good guy.
Yeah, like, I think that entire group, for the most part, has become a little bit quieter because they were talking a lot through the first half of the season. But, even, you know, I've talked to Kendrick Bourne about this from time to time. Just, hey, asking about particular young guys in the wide receiver group and saying, you know, what do they need to do? What about these drops? What is the common denominator with all these guys? And he's like, it's not just the young guys, it's everybody. It's going back to the fundamentals and understanding where your defender's going to be and focusing on the ball and not getting distracted by these other things. This is Kendrick Bourne, who's been in the league for how many years? And so I do think that it's Jalen Polk is the biggest symptom of an underlying problem with the entire operation with wide receiver right now.
All I'll say is this, like Andy Hart likes to often say on the podcast as well as the afternoons and whenever we work together, I never wish another man to lose his job. If I were Tyler Hughes, that would be your Patriots wide receivers coach, everyone, I might just check in with the missus and make sure we're renting. It's been an issue, and
I don't think that's going too far, Fitzy.
No,
and
as we saw,
kind of penciled in.
Yeah, as we saw yesterday in the Josina Anderson piece on Bovada as well, which we'll get to later in the show. The organization knows that if they do run this operation back, they're going to have to make some changes, not just to placate fans, but also to give the coach the best potential possible to succeed next year. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. Mego's emotional roller coaster. More game preview action. And we'll also ask you guys, what do you expect us to be talking about, not just throughout the game? What will be the dialogue and the main talking point at the end of Chargers-Patriots today? But first, let's catch you up on everything else trending in the wide world.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26. Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Live sports. That was Patriots right guard, sometimes right tackle. Well, he's played everywhere. Patriots offensive lineman Mike Onwenu in his weekly appearance on WEEI on Thursday with KJ Carson and John Lyons. We appreciate them helping us get that clip for the show today as well. It's interesting how Mike Onwenu speaks Mego there a bit, certainly without pleasantries, but a bit more plaintively about liking the culture a little bit more, liking the environment, but assessing that it is a different culture, and it should be as well. But do you think is it a lack of discipline that has caused the team to start to fray at the edges? Is it just a lack of talent, or is it just a lack of understanding how difficult it is to put together a team of 53 guys that may have divergent agendas and get them all to be committed to the same cause? Get everyone, equipment people, coaches, coordinators, assistants, social media people, everything. I think that while Gerard Mayo and company, ownership and beyond, had the right intentions, I think they all underestimated just how much work it takes to run an NFL team on a day-to-day. And even though Bill Belichick said, do your job, and he would somehow do 19, somehow he was able to mostly do those 19 jobs. And they may have underestimated just how much that guy got done on a daily basis, and thus we have this product now.
Yeah, it's almost like instead of do your job, it's now learn your job. Learn it this year. Because there've been so many guys, whether it's on
what's your job,
whether it's on the personnel side or the coaching side, we've said this all through the season, but they're learning on the job, and it makes for a tremendously messy situation in a lot of different spaces. I think Mike Onwenu was a really interesting guy to hear from because there was a point in the season where they were going to flip him to the other side for the first time in years.
Yep,
and he didn't outright push back against that, but when asked, like, hey, how did that go last time? He said, not very well. Go back and watch the
game. Keon White, can you be fixed in 2 weeks?
So,
no.
I think you can say,
good over there?
You can hear from someone like Mike Onwenu and say, hey, like we're establishing the culture and it's different, but it's going to be good and everything, that he's trying to spin it positively. But he's also faced a similar situation to Keon White where it's like, hey, man, I'm one of the guys on this roster who actually has the talent. Everybody around here was talking about, oh, it's not, the personnel is the problem and the lack of talent is the problem. Mike Onwenu was the best offensive lineman who was available in free agency last season.
Elliot Wolf told us several times, like, well, oh, we got the best free agent offensive lineman.
He kind of was, at least at that time. I wanted them to re-sign him. Keon White was coming up coming off this rookie season where he's really high-end talent. We thought he was going to come in and be the Matthew Judon replacement, to the point where we go, hey, Elliot, good job. Good trade there. Mm-hmm. You know, this makes sense. So it does make you look at the coaching staff and go, are we supposed to trust a bunch of guys who are learning on the job doing these jobs for the first time, the coaching staff?
But they've been there so long. Don't they know what they're doing?
And they're asking these guys to play out a position in a lot of the linemen's case, or Mike and Wenyu's case.
I thought you were talking about the coaches, because I think that absolutely...
No, I'm saying that
it mirrors it perfectly.
The coaches, it's, you look at it and you go, they're learning for the first time. They're learning on the job. They're doing these jobs for the first time. And we're supposed to trust them to take a Keon White, to take a Mike Onwenu, and, you know, move them around out of necessity because of the holes on the roster and injuries and everything else that comes up. But at the same time, nobody is being put in the best position.
Because there's not enough somebodies. I hate to say it.
Yeah.
I think that's really why nobody is being put in the best position to succeed, and why we only see Christian Gonzalez and Drake May evolving.
Because they're playing their positions?
Because they're playing the right position. There are so few people playing the right position
on this
Brendan team.
Brendan Schooler has flourished at times out
He's
of position
good.
In the Longhorn package.
He's good, and he deserved his 3-year, $10 million deal as well. And I'd actually like to see him there more, but they may be saying, okay, well, Marcus Jones can't stay, you know, is on the shelf now. He's literally spent half his career, sadly, on injured reserve, which sucks. Lost all last year, now loses a couple games this year.
Sometimes happens when you're 5'9 and playing every position on the field.
Right.
So
I wonder if they shouldn't just maybe move him to offensive weapon / kick returner and look to draft another cornerback or two or three, or sign some more in the offseason, because durability concerns are legitimate. That's why somebody who had such a great pass coverage grade in college probably slipped to the fourth round, because there were durability issues. There's just not enough bodies. There's just not enough talent, period, at the end. Like, if you had to distill all of the issues the Patriots have down into one, like, you only are allowed to take with you to the desert island one summation of the issues of this team, or fire it off into space, it would be there's just not enough talent. You don't even have to qualify it on field or on the sidelines. Not enough talent.
I absolutely agree. It doesn't mean that the other issues aren't important too. And that brings us to the emotional roller coaster, which I would love to get into, because
Let's
we got
it.
A great response.
All
so.
Right. Every week, for those who don't listen to the pregame show or could be new to listening to it on a Saturday with Fitzy and Mego, as opposed to Arkan, Mego, and Chime, every week around this time, around 10:30 or 2 hours before kickoff, Mego puts out on the Twix platform a poll question, and then we all hop on board the emotional roller coaster, if you will, and discuss exactly how we think the fans will respond and what led Mego to this question. So, Miss Ottolini, what is this week's pregame emotional roller coaster?
So today's emotional roller coaster, if you want to find me, at Megan_Ottolini, that's Megan with an H, the Irish way. That's
the
Irish way of spelling, if you want to still participate in it. The poll question is, can anything in today's Patriots game change your opinion of the coaching, or is your mind made up? And I'll explain why I worded it this way. So your options
why
are...
Why would you lob that grenade into the comment section?
Mind made up or still open-minded?
Okay.
So are you still open-minded about your opinion of the coaching staff? You're still open to change? Or are you Keon White? No. Nothing's changing in the last two games.
Shut up.
So 77% said that their mind is made up about this coaching staff. 23%, actually more than I expected, said that they're still open-minded. Fitzy, I posed this question because I was thinking about the last game, Buffalo, and how there was a lot of silver linings. It wasn't a, what do you call it, the Mondays that we have so often.
It wasn't
here.
A moral victory
moral
Monday.
Moral victory Monday.
That's what it's basically been. That's the best case scenario since Brady left.
It wasn't quite a moral victory Monday, but it was a, hey, look, they were up 14-0. They hung in there. They contained Josh Allen. We saw a lot of stuff there that was was a nice starting point for whatever you want to do next. And if they can continue some of this through the end of the season, they show a little spark. What a difference that is from the Arizona game. I can't shake the grossness from the Arizona game and everything that happened after it. It wasn't enough. Buffalo was not enough of a palate cleanser.
And also, really, Buffalo was only a half of an effort.
Exactly.
One half. Since the bye, they've played one half of good football out of four possible halves. I don't want to hear it about the hustle and effort on the drives when the game gets out of hand. Like, oh, they scored late in the game and they got to go to an onside kick last week. Yeah, that's because they squandered the game away with an inexplicably boneheaded lateral from the five-yard line. Mondre put it on the carpet again as well. Like, issues that continue to dog this team that they should. Bad play calls, inopportune play calls, just brain farts all over the place. And ball security issues, which you thought they would have shaken by now. And then Mayo tried to explain away the effort against Arizona. He said, you know, we're more of the effort that we put forth against Buffalo. That was an anomalous effort. That was like an inexplicable one-off, as I paraphrase here. The effort they put forth against Arizona, to which I would say that makes it even worse.
Yes.
That you couldn't get your guys focused on, let's finish strong, let's all of y'all figure out if you're going to be a part of this team or audition for another team, and as you said, create momentum, positive strides, stuff you can build on emotionally and literally for next season, and to come out and lay that much of a dud.
I can't get over it.
No, it was
really
off.
Can't.
It was brutal.
I can't get over it. And so I kind of was making this an exercise for myself, because when that game happened, I really turned a corner. We were on radio together, I think the following evening, that Monday night, and I was saying, this is the first time when I see really hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube. That's how it feels with the coaching stuff. That's how it feels with the head coach. That's how it feels with the front office. I was kind of scorched earth. And I've had a hard time coming back.
You were
back
super
from that.
Mad that night.
Yeah, I have had a hard time coming back from that. And so I think to myself, what's frustrating to me overall about the entire coaching situation is I wonder about ownership. If ownership is amenable to changing their mind at any point in this process, or if it's going to be something where it takes multiple seasons to make a decision about what it is. And so I think to myself, well, if I'm coming off the Arizona game and I feel I've just turned this corner and I'm so pissed off that I can't go back to, well, give him another chance. Like, I need to exercise the same open-mindedness that everybody should. Maybe Keon White says nothing can be fixed over the next two games for him, but I'm still looking to collect as much data as I can about this team, about everybody on the coaching staff, and trying to keep an open mind about what makes sense to do in the offseason, because otherwise, what are these last two games about?
That's folks, that's how AI works. It constantly collects data so it can evolve and learn. I like to call
this is the Mego operating system.
I call it OI, operational intelligence. Like, you need to constantly be collecting data so as to learn, you assimilate it, learn, cull from the best, get rid of the worst, and improve and evolve. You know, that, the fork, Wi-Fi, opposable thumbs, that's what keeps us atop the
food
chain.
But I feel like there's these two replies to the poll that I think kind of just show both sides.
Okay.
One is, this coaching staff sucks. They should all get fired. Bring Vrabel and Josh McDaniels back. So that's one extreme. On the other side, somebody says, fans up here have gone mad. Evaluating a coach based on 15 games is absurd. I think those are the two polar sides of the spectrum that people are drifting towards, and I see both sides. I still can't get over the Arizona game.
617-779-7937 is your number to jump in on the conversation. Let's grab a call before the break. Phil, our old pal, Phil's up in New Hampshire. Phil in the 603, how are you today?
Very well. Happy holidays to both of you. You're two of my favorite personalities on the station. So,
thank you.
You know, it's a good morning for me.
Oh, thank you, Phil.
First of all, you can evaluate a coach in 15 games. I mean, this guy doesn't have the instinct to be a coach, number one. Number two, like, anytime he says something, like a little bit of being real and non-corporate leaks out of his head, he backtracks it. If he kept it real, then, you know, and just stood by his convictions when he says things, I'd at least have an iota of respect for him as a coach. But outside of that, you know, I can't watch these games and enjoy that without the lingering thought in the back of my mind. Because I really do believe Mac Jones was the downfall of the Patriot way. You had the quarterback who wanted to know the why, playing for the guy who, you know, says do your job. So when they say the Matt Patricia thing, and I'm like, yeah, well, we finished 17th in the league, and Bailey Zappi, who's terrible, was awesome. In that, it looked like a viable quarterback in that offense. It's not all about that. It was about buy-in. Your quarterback didn't buy in. If I watch this, and all I can see is, like, in my head, there's no world where Bill Belichick would have allowed a team that's $36.7 million under the cap to be on the field. You might not have liked how he spent the money, but he would have tried to plug the holes with money. And then to think that you know, when someone says, like, what happens between the lines is out of my control, like, yeah, no, there would have been dire consequences for what things that happen between the lines with a real coach. So I just think that there's not a world when I watch these games that a team coached by Bill with Josh McDaniels as the offensive coordinator would not be 10 times better than what we have right now, and then also a better, you know, jumping ball block for a career for Drake May. I think that's all I have to say. I just can't watch these games and feel anything good. I just have all these lingering thoughts in the back of my mind of what could have been, what should have been. And then it just makes me also not stand Mac Jones any more than I already don't.
Mac Jones catching strays. Thanks for the call, Phil. Enjoy the game today if you can make it through it, and we appreciate you listening to the pregame show. I've heard as much from people around the team that were involved in the 2022 operation that Mac Jones was a next level PITA. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised that he's catching strays in that capacity as well. I don't know if Bill Belichick would have taken Drake May third overall. I can't tell you exactly how the operation would look in a simulated controlled environment. You could probably say, sure, it would be a more buttoned up operation. We'd have a better offense if it was Billy O and Bill Belichick coaching, but all the same players. Maybe so. This is what you have, though, folks. This is your now. So I choose not to live in the past anymore. I don't want to be a glory hound. I also don't want to live with what could have been or what should have been. Except for Ladd McConkey. I got to vent. If I hit the Ladd valve, at least it allows me to just let that steam out so I don't get too frustrated watching these games. And
it's the emergency Ladd valve.
Just put Gonzo on him today so I don't have to see him score once or twice.
It's going to be John Jones.
Probably will, and John Jones was great last week against Khalil Shakir, but McConkey's, don't get me going, man.
Ladd McConkey.
Oh, my gosh. It's just going to be... You know, I understand their frustration, Mego, about watching this operation and saying they don't have the same trust in it that they normally would or should. Look, they have two games to try to not right the ship, but at least try to put forth a complete effort. Last week was a half effort, and then they got messy or lazy or too conservative in the second half for their own good. Put forth one or two good efforts at the end of the season, overhaul the talent, and then just make do. I mean, I don't want to sound like an apologist or an excuse maker, but that's all it's going to be.
Fitzy, I want to ask you something on the other side because we got to pay some bills. But on the other side, based off of that call, from a fan perspective about a danger zone that ownership might be walking into this offseason.
Okay. All right, let's get to that. Okay, 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. When we come back, we will get to Mego's question as well. We'll also get to more of your calls. And what exactly will people be talking about after the game, how we see it's going to go? This is Fitzy and Mego on WEEI Football Sunday on a Saturday. Come on back now. 10:52 on a brisk, chilly, rainy Saturday morning. Your New England Patriots flexed out of their 1 o'clock Sunday kickoff time as they host Jim Harbaugh, Justin Herbert, Ladd McConkey, Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, Cameron Dicker, the kicker, who's had an excellent season, and the L.A. Chargers on an NFL Network triple header of a Saturday. Yes, I'm not sure. What network is carrying the game locally? There's usually one local channel has to.
Well, I was reading that Western Mass is not getting the game locally.
You're kidding.
I'm not. It's just bizarre. I read that on Mass Live, actually.
Western Mass might not be getting the game. It's got to be on locally. Anyway, it's an NFL Network triple header today. Patriots, Chargers, 1 o'clock. Broncos, Bengals, which is a veritable playoff game. at 4:30. And, of course, the Cardinals, who were just eliminated from the postseason, the Cardinals were eliminated. They are in L.A. at SoFi Stadium tonight at 8 o'clock to take on the Rams. Yeah, go ahead.
I had a question for you.
Okay. Yes. Oh, that's right. On the other side, you had a question. Yes.
Okay. So because we're talking about everybody now, we have two games left. Keon White says he can't be fixed in the last two games. Uh-huh. We talked to Karen Garigian earlier in the show. If you missed that, definitely check it out on the Odyssey app because she's so fantastic. And she had this great piece on Mass Live about Keon White and his comments about, his future being uncertain. Do you think that bringing Jerod Mayo back and even clearing house around him will put Patriots fans, you really speak for the fans, Fitzy. You're very in touch with them. We'll put Patriots fans in a position next season, if it continues down this road, where they feel quite alienated by ownership's decisions.
We're not hearing our complaints.
We're looking at a situation now where Tom Brady leaves in March of 2020. Couple seasons later, you get a little bump from spending a ton of money in free agency. Looks like in 2021, you got something maybe brewing with Mac Jones and Josh McDaniels as his OC. Josh McDaniels leaves. Following season, you get what looks like, wow, rock bottom, a disaster. Nope, take out the excavators because there's another layer of rock bottom after that.
And oh, then sure.
Bill's,
Do we
Bill
even know rock
out
bottom?
The door, and now this is supposed to be, hey, the new era, restarting everything. You got a new culture. It's younger. It's a player's coach. It's all these different things. And it really looks even worse than last year, in my opinion, outside of quarterback, which Drake May can't say enough good things about him. Mm-hmm. But looks worse, and every year it looks worse. And then you have ownership saying, no, we're going to fix it by running it back again, at least in some sense with Jerod Mayo. How much of a risk do you run alienating your fan base when now you're going into, assuming they do that, 6 years of this? It's the better part of a decade of this.
The only way that you don't alienate the fan base, because while you and I might be leaning or teetering towards, you have to give the guy a second year if you went through all this trouble to bring him in. And I'm sure the Kraft family doesn't want to feel bad or look bad, and they don't want the optics of, oh, so this was your hand-selected guy that you bumped Belichick for, and you're going to ditch him after 1 year?
You started making this plan 5 years ago, and now you're out after 1 year.
And this was the succession plan that you ditched the greatest coach of all time for, no matter how frustrated you were with his antics or, overlording or general managerialmanship, if you will, to make up a word on the fly? Yeah, okay. So they're obviously going to run it back. How you don't alienate the fans is you have, there'll be no pound of flesh, no measure that is going to grant them some solace or comfort in the offseason. Drake May is the only comfort and solace that there is right now. So having a couple of good games, making sure he's upright, seeing a few other people try to show up and meet him on his level, that'll help for the time being. But I think most people, like Karen Garigian was saying during our interview in the 9 o'clock hour, I think most fans are just ready to get on to the next season. Like, get me to the offseason. Overpay for T. Higgins. Trade for DK Metcalf. Get a bunch of fat guys on the line. Give him a legitimate line. We see what Drake May's EPA and excellence is when he's out of structure on the fly or on the run, which is two out of every three plays because it's a jailbreak on the offensive line more than half the time. But if you have a baller of an offseason and you finally burn some cash and you do it the right way and there's now a legitimate wide receiver one and the tight end room gets added onto and the offensive line gets fixed and there's going to be help on defense and then you get to the draft and perhaps you have the second or third overall pick and there's a chance you can trade with a team that wants a quarterback and you can get multiple picks, add more receivers, add more big boys on both sides of the ball. I think the volume play will probably allay some of the concerns, and it'll get fans into next season. Now, if Mayo has more verbal missteps, more walk-back Mondays on WEEI with the Greg Hill Show.
Appointment listening, though.
He's been listening to that, at least. He's aware of what his Q rating is and how he's going over with the fans and the fact that he's become a joke and a meme, sadly, to a lot of Pats fans online. And with the interviews and more, he's clearly aware, as is the organization. But I think they're willing to take the hit with bringing him back in the best interest of the football team.
You say they being the fan base.
No, I think the organization understands that it's going to be risky. But you're looking at it yet, like, how much riskier can it get? Because you're looking at a day, Mago, like you may see some season ticket members drop off. Maybe some licenses won't get renewed. That sucks. I was also just reading from some friends that texted me saying, like, hey, we're thinking about coming down today. Which seats should we pick? And they're like $45 in the 200s.
It's on the fly. Like, you have a harder time maybe getting into the Bob Dylan movie in movie theaters today.
Probably. Yeah, you may have a more difficult time getting the seats you want for Moana 2 or Wicked than the Patriots game today against the Chargers, which is stupefying. Yeah, they are going to run that risk. There is no way they can completely stem or mitigate the frustration the fans will have by bringing Mayo and this entire coaching entourage back. But this is the bed they made. So commit to it, call your team soft, you know, come out at the end of the season and say, we have a firm belief that maybe ownership needs to take this bullet, per se. They come out and say, we firmly believe that Gerard Mayo was the one to lead this team. We let you down. We did not give him the tools he needs or any of the other coaches. And so this offseason, we will redouble our efforts with purpose and cause and effort and energy to make sure that he gets what he needs to deliver you what you need, which is a football team you can be proud of, and hopefully more wins than losses. That's how I feel.
That's a great point about ownership coming out publicly, Fitzy, because so Jacina Anderson, about a day and a half ago, had this report. She said that while some reported Mayo seat was getting, quote, warmer prior to the start of the team's final three-game stretch and that competitive results were needed over this span, league sources maintain a change at the helm, quote, would be a shock. Mm-hmm. Citing to date, it has not been a rampant notion spreading throughout the building, that being Gillette. For full transparency, said sources are leaving a crack for fluidity in any decision or opportunity, but still maintain an underlying preparations for a swap is not currently the prevalent logic over expected emotion.
Right.
You don't hear from ownership coming out during the season a lot saying, hey, you know what? We love our coach. We're standing by our coach. This is our guy. Mm-hmm. So that would be a little unusual. But I do think that when you have what happened after the Arizona game and if people who are known to be very tight in, like Albert Breer, like Greg Bedard,
yep,
coming out after days after the fact and saying that is a hot seat moment for Gerard Mayo and just having that kind of linger out there, I don't know that it's doing him any favors when he's
correct,
your hand-selected guy from years ago and ownership is not coming out saying we've got a plan for this team and Gerard is the leader of that plan.
Tim, Ray, John, don't you guys go anywhere. We will get to all of your calls on the front office of the New England Patriots and how your frustrations may not just be pointed at the field or on the sidelines, but rather upstairs where some serious work and some splaining is going to have to get done this offseason. You're listening to Nick Fitzy Stevens and Megan Ottolini in the 1-2 chair today for Football Sunday on a Saturday. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number or the text line if you want to join the conversation. When we come back, home stretch before we kick it on over to coverage of the Pinstripes Bowl with BC and Nebraska right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
The road to the MLB All-Star Game presented by MasterCard starts with you. Who will take the field this July? The power is in your hands. Phase one of the 2026 Konami eBaseball MLB All-Star Ballot is open. Vote up to 5 times daily for your favorite stars. And get a bonus daily vote by downloading the Konami eBaseball MLB Pro Spirit game. Top vote getters advance for the chance to be a starter. Cast your ballots at MLB.com/vote. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or?
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
To be 3-12, and we don't have a popular coach. At least we got Drake May. And you're listening to Football Saturday. Hey, everybody, it's Fitzy and Mego. Home stretch here on WEEI Football Sunday on a Saturday. Arcand is out. Shime under the weather. Mego is here, and your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens was bumped up from the postgame show to the pregame.
Whoop, whoop.
And we're having ourselves a blast. Thrilled to be here with you guys, setting the table for a game I think is going to be more competitive than I believe a lot of people on the local think so. Mego, 1 o'clock. Bolts, Pats, L.A. Chargers, New England Patriots. Chargers, a 4.5-point favorite. We'll get into our predictions for the game as well as what we believe the big talking points will be throughout the game. And most notably on the postgame show, don't forget to tune in. Andy Hart and John Lyons will have you with producer Joe Braverman at the conclusion of Patriots Chargers from 4 to 7 here on WEEI and throughout our affiliates and, of course, on the Odyssey app. But it's promised to the people. Now let's go to the phones. First up, Tim in Lowell. What's up, Tim?
Good afternoon, guys. Good job this morning.
Thank you very much, friend. Appreciate you.
And Mego, I should have left you in the afternoon drive. Just a side comment there. But anyways, listen, right now, Bob Kraft is tied with John Henry for being the worst-run sports organization in New England. Now, I understand he took a liking to Gerard Mayo. I understand that he respected him. You know, he had success off the field. He was no way near qualified to be appointed head coach. They would have been better off bringing back Josh McDaniel, even though he was a disaster in Las Vegas. He was the heir apparent when he was here. They would have been better off if they brought him in, made Mayo defensive coordinator, and surrounded him with some of the old Patriots assistants. But in plain English, he wanted to be politically correct. That's why he hired. That's one of the reasons why he hired Gerard Mayo. And it's a shame because he put him in a position to fail. And you know, the thing in the front office is a joke too. If you take a look at their draft from last year, they got May. Thank God they took him, because Wallace and Polk and Baker, they've proved they can't play in the league up to this point. Right now the organization is a joke.
All right, Tim, I appreciate the call very much. Tim echoes the frustrations, I believe, of a lot of Patriots fans these days, though I would like to push back on one of his comments. We are broadcasting on WEEI, and it was not a WDEI hire bringing in Gerard Mayo. I just want to say real quick that I do not believe that it was for optics, political views, wokeness, none of that. This is somebody, honestly, we all saw the dynasty, and whatever you thought about the way that that represented Belichick's contributions, the way those 20 years played out, etc. I'm not here for a referendum on the book or the Apple Plus TV series. But we all saw Robert Kraft talk about how he knew he screwed up not hiring Belichick the first time and got lucky that he came back around to him the second time. And so this time, when his gut told him again
that there was somebody that he wanted to have coach his team, someone he liked and believed could be a leader of men. He jumped on it, maybe now preemptively, because in a lot of ways, Gerard Mayo and all of his assistants, coordinators, et cetera, they weren't ready for the prime time, which is why they got to stick with him.
Yeah, sorry to step on you there, Fitzy, but I think with Robert Kraft, it's so clear to me that what really happened here was, yes, he did see this vision of Gerard Mayo as Bill's successor, mm-hmm. and he never thought that last season would go as poorly. Four wins, Bailey Zappe and Mac Jones trading the starting job when they brought Bill O'Brien back, that it was going to be such a mess, and they could not sustain that. Week to week, living in it, they get to the Germany game, as our friend Tom Curran reported at the time, essentially make the decision of, we got to end this. We got to pull the plug a year early, and if that means thrusting Gerard Mayo into a situation where he's a little undercooked rather than missing out on him completely, that's the risk we're going to take. I think the major issue with that entire plan, other than forcing someone into a situation where they don't have all the preparation perhaps necessary because it's a year early, and the focus is just get Bill out of the building and we got to reestablish everything and get our team back, speaking from ownership perspective, is what about the front office? And it was so odd to me in real time, the way that they seem to treat the front office as a backseat to everything else. They have this grand introduction press conference with Young Thundercat and Gerard Mayo, and it's this whole thing that everyone is very excited about. But then, well, what about the draft? Oh, well, no, we're going to name who the GM is after the draft. And we're actually not going to give him the position of GM. He's going to be the director.
Executive Vice President of Player Personnel. And just say GM.
It becomes this strange thing where it's like, is this a collaborative effort behind the scenes? How much is ownership? And it opens yourself up to these questions. How much is ownership involved in the front office decisions? And it just felt like they put something on the back burner that was just as important as the head coach when you're making the transition that you're making the transition. And to me, I know people are frustrated with the way that the coaching staff has been this year. I am too. The front office, to me, when you talk about the talent on the team and some of the missed opportunities, that is the bigger thing to come down on.
By the way, if you visit Mego's Twitter page, the Twix, the X, whatever you want to call it, at Megan_Ottolini, the emotional roller coaster is up. Her poll question of the day: can anything in today's Patriots game change your opinion of the coaching, or is your mind made up? Since we first brought it to the fore in the 10 o'clock hour, the percentage of people voting mind made up over still open-minded has increased, Mego.
Okay. So people are sticking to their guns.
The Tims and Lowell, the frustrated Foxborough fandom, is weighing in, and their mind done made up. Boy, oh boy, do they have a lot of work to do this offseason. You know the person who probably deserves just as much blame and has all his work cut out for him? That would be Elliot Wolf, and Ray in Revere would like to talk about Mr. Wolf. Hello, Ray.
Hey, guys. Listen, Mego, I think you summarized it perfectly. Let me just give you a date. January 12th was the day the Washington Commanders hired their new general manager, Adam Peters. It was the biggest hire they made, and the owner approached it that way. First week of the offseason, brings in a guy, gives him a five-year, $40 million contract. And they signed six starters in free agency and came up with five more in the draft. Think about that, guys. You got 22 starters. Mm-hmm. He brings in 11 new ones. And it's easy to conclude that it's Jaden Daniels. But what about the 11 starters you brought in with him? And the Patriots, comparatively, came up with one starter out of those two avenues, okay? And, guys, we had an adjacent draft position, second versus third. You couldn't have a better comparison. And, you know, what I really wonder, guys, does Robert Kraft really look at it that way? In my opinion, the best organizations in the NFL draft better than everybody else. Because under the CBA, you get 4 years of player control. You really don't see top-tier free agents come available anymore. Teams lock them up. And from my vantage point, if Robert Kraft is being quiet right now because he's out doing a real GM search, I'll be really happy. But I've seen or heard nothing from him that indicates to me that he understands that this is the most important hire and he's committed to it. It can actually attract somebody of that caliber. Thanks, fellas.
That's a great call, Ray. Thank you so much. You know, it's interesting because you, being the Commanders fan you are, hail to the Commanders, you can probably attest, it isn't just, although the Commanders did end the Bears season and send them into a tailspin of epic proportions.
We're all very proud of that.
10 losses straight since the what do they call it?
Hail Maryland.
Hail Maryland, thank you. Such a great nickname, I love that. Since the Hail Maryland, 10 straight losses. It isn't just all Jaden Daniels. It isn't just all Dan Quinn. It isn't just all a revitalized Terry McLaurin. Adam Peters came in.
And Cliff Kingsbury.
And it isn't just super handsome Cliff Kingsbury in his air raid offense and his expensive Italian leather shoes. It's the work of Adam Peters, who learned under John Lynch, who so many people wanted to be the general manager in New England. And while I love the pedigree of Elliott Wolf and still believe that a good draft or three can be found in his time, however long he's here with the Patriots. Although you do wonder now, like, how much was he responsible with Matt Crow for Tyquan Thornton and some of the other guys recently? Adam Peters crushed the draft in the offseason for the Commanders. That's why they have turned around their low-ranked team, their four-win squad, their 27th-ranked offensive line last year.
This is what, if you want to look at the roadmap, it's not perfect. Washington's not a great team. You know, they barely got by Philly last week. It was a really exciting game, but they barely got by when you have Pickett out there. And I look at them, it's not just about, hey, Jaden Daniels versus Drake May. Both guys are great. I think both guys are going to be top 10 quarterbacks for this league in the coming years. Like, hey, good job by both of them. They go out and get Dan Quinn, a bona fide players coach who is adored by everyone that he's ever coached. Like, adored. So he makes an immediate impact, culture setter in that locker room. They go get Cliff
Kingsbury. Think what you will of his late game management in the Super Bowl.
The players love him. Bring in Cliff Kingsbury, somebody who sits down with Jaden Daniels before the season started, reportedly says, hey, here's what we're taking from your college game to make this the easiest on-ramp for you. I'm not above that. He gets mocked mercilessly around D.C. for, oh, we're running a college offense, we're running college offense. Jaden Daniels explodes on the scene. They take Brandon Coleman. They're starting left tackle right ahead of Caden Wallace in this draft. And that's where you're sitting. You are going to be compared to the moves that they made in this offseason versus the moves that you made in your offseason. I think it's fair because it's very easy to look at them and go, they were a really bad team last year. They're not a great team this year, but they made the most meaningful progress that you could in one offseason, whereas you may have taken a slight step back aside from the quarterback.
Let's go back to the phones. Mego, speak to the people. Lewis is in Connecticut. What's up, buddy? Hello, Lewis.
We may have missed Lewis there.
Hello? Sorry. Hey, there he is.
Hello, Lewis.
Hey, is it Lewis?
Hey, how's it going? I was just listening to your conversation.
Oh, thank you. Is it Lewis or Louis?
No, it's Lewis. It's Lewis. It's how you have Spanish, right? People pronounce it different.
Right on, my guy. What's on your mind?
So, yeah, I just want to talk about how, like, I've been a Patriots fan for a long time. I'm 38 years old. You know, they've been winning almost my whole entire life. People who are sitting here like, oh, we suck right now. Dude, be happy. We had 20 years of winning. We just won so many years in a row. And now all these people, oh, get rid of this, get rid of that. Give us about a five-year period. We literally just lost Tom Brady 3 years ago. You know, Mac Jones went through the whole Mac Jones debacle. You know, just give us some time. We'll be all right. I remember watching the game against the Cincinnati Bengals the year Tom Brady came in, and we were getting busted by Taquio Spikes and Corey Dillon. And they were just – we weren't that good. Then Tom Brady came in, took over 20-plus years of greatness, and now we suck again, and everybody's just ready to push the new button.
Well, Lewis, I appreciate the call, and I understand and I hear your sentiments. I think if fans see, yes, it does take a lot of time to turn a ship around in a canal. Yes, it does take time to strip away things if you're going to live in the renovation, let alone reset the whole entire residential operation, pour a new foundation, build a totally different house upon which, where there used to be a castle of greatness for 20 years. I get it, but I think the reason why, it's not just about the immediacy of needing greatness for the spoiled fan base here in entitled town, because there were so many championships. You just want to see things going the right direction.
It's not the second half of 2020 with Cam Newton here. It's right. Not sitting here and going, oh, everybody's spoiled because you had it started with an 8-game winning streak the season before with Tom Brady, and now he's gone and you're not prepared for the post-Tom Brady world. Mm-hmm. This is 5 seasons of this. Again, I give you the one bump in 2021 with Mac Jones and Josh McDaniels. Yes, that was a fun ride. There is a point where you're the top seed in the division. It's super fun. Mm-hmm. Okay. Other than that, I understand the frustration. I think it's fair. Mm-hmm. You, if anything, being the dynastic franchise that you are sets the standard higher. And so you look at it and you go, all of a sudden you're supposed to be like anybody else and you're the bottom of the league after the standard that you set and putting out things like the dynasty.
Right.
And showing something named the dynasty. Mm-hmm. You are setting the expectation and the standard for fans. So I think it's totally fair for fans to be frustrated. I think fans deserve a better product. Absolutely. Especially if they're coming here and paying to sit in the stands on a day like today.
No
kidding.
It's
40 and rainy. Come on.
They do deserve better. Something representative of the time, the commitment, the effort. I know everyone inside the operation, people that make the Jumbotron light up, the social media team, the people that draft the players, the people that cook the meals, everyone's frustrated here, believe me. And everyone wants better. They've gotten the memo. Now it's up to them to change things around. And maybe it starts with a great draft. And we'll end with our last call. It's got to be a quick call, Liam, on the upcoming draft and the wide receiver position. Hey, Liam, what's up, buddy?
Yeah. So my opinion is that, you're taking a risk drafting potentially Travis Hunter or some other wide receiver, mm-hmm. but you're taking two risks drafting T. Higgins. You're taking the risk that A, he's even going to sign here, and B,
you mean signing,
he's played with
drafting.
Jamar Chase.
Yeah, T. Higgins is going to get paid wildly. And thank you for the call, Liam. I'm sorry, we had to go a minute. Yes. But the thing that somebody like a T. Higgins represents, Liam, and everyone else that's concerned that he could come in and get overpaid and may not be wide receiver one that you're looking for to fully unlock Drake May, is he's already done it at the pro level. He's done it, yes, as a number two next to one of the best wide receivers in recent memory in the NFL in the form of Jamar Chase, but he's actually done it. And there are some who believe that maybe he's actually a better receiver if he gets a chance to showcase, flourish, and be wide receiver one. I don't even know if Travis Hunter will be as good a receiver in the NFL as he would be.
If he's going to be a receiver.
A cornerback. Well, he's got to be a receiver, period. All right, Mego, what's the main thing we're talking about after the game, and what's your prediction?
Main thing we're talking about is the amount of pressure that that your guy Drake May is going to be under. I think it's going to be a tough day for the offense overall. That's a sad prediction I have.
I think the main storyline is that the defense falters again and J.K. Dobbins returns to form. And look what an offensive line does for you. I've got Chargers 30, Patriots 24.
Oh, wow. I'm going like Chargers 20, Patriots 17.
All right. She's got a lower scoring affair. I got a Chargers cover in the over. Great time today with you doing WEI Football Sunday on a Saturday. Give her a follow at Megan_Ottolini. Tom Cristofulli in studio on the ones and twos. Great job, buddy. This is your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens saying thank you guys for allowing us to set the table for you and get you ready for Patriots Chargers here on WEI Football Sunday on a Saturday. If you missed anything, check out the Six Rings podcast feed or use the Odyssey app. Today, we'll throw to some commercials, and then it's going to be pregame coverage of the Pinstripes Bowl. Let's go, Eagles, for Boston today against the Cornhuskers. Good luck, Patriots, and take care, everybody.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame, how will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.